So we're reading a little bit from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. The Bhagavat is referring to the pastimes of Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many different translations given of the word Bhagavan. Bhaga, or he who is Bhaga means good fortune, and Van means the possessor of good fortune. Another translation of the word Bhagavan, which has been given by Jiva Goswami, is for Ba, Bhajaniya, for Ga, Guna, and for Va, Visista. Bhajaniya, Guna, Visista, it means he who is irresistible. Everyone must somehow or other serve him. Oh, I like that definition a lot, if I can choose. That's the one. So that's the one I'm looking at when I'm speaking of the Chaitanya Bhagavat, or the description about Bhagavan, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is irresistible. We cannot ignore his transcendental pastimes. The more we hear about Lord Chaitanya, the more we become touched by his transcendental nature. And we begin to see how he is unlimited merciful. This is what Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami said. He said, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Daya Kara Vichar Vicharaka Chitta Pavachamaka. If we somehow or other are interested in the logic of scripture, or in any form of logic, then we should apply our logical tendencies to understanding the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if we do, there will be amazement in the heart. Advaita Acharya Prabhu heard the different comments from the Vaishnavas about the Lord's ecstatic trance, and he was extremely pleased. Overcome, he spoke to the Vaishnavas, "My dear devotee brothers, I had a dream last night, which I wish to reveal to all of you. I took rest, feeling very sad and dejected. I was fasting because I could not understand a text of the Bhagavad Gita. Sometime during the night in my dream, a person came to me and said, 'Wake up, Acharya, take your food immediately. I will reveal to you the meaning of the Bhagavad Gita text. However, first you must rise and eat, and then worship me. Discard the melancholy in your heart, for your austerities and vows have finally reaped a full harvest. All your fasting, your worship, and your endless entreaties to the Lord, crying, Krishna and Krishna, and the vow you made with lifted hands for the advent of the Lord will all come to bear fruit. The chanting of Lord Krishna's holy name will constantly be heard in every country, in every town, and in every village. By your mercy, everyone will be able to experience here in Navadvip, in Srivas's house, devotional ecstasy that is rarely achieved even by Lord Brahma. Now, I will take your leave, but first you must eat. I will appear to you again in the future. When I opened my eyes, I saw our Lord Vishvambar, but within moments he vanished from my sight. I do not understand the mysterious ways of Lord Krishna, how he acts and to whom he reveals what secret. Vishvambar's elder brother, Vishwarup, used to come to my house and discuss Bhagavad Gita. At that time, Vishvambar was a most exquisite child who was most charming to behold. He would come to my house to call his brother. The little child Vishvambar captivated my entire being with his extraordinary beauty. I would spontaneously bless him, saying, may you develop pure devotion to the Lord. The child hailed from an illustrious family of great scholars. His maternal grandfather was Sri Nilambar Chakravarti. Lord Vishwambhar is a great scholar, so it's natural that he would become attached to Lord Krishna. It is extremely pleasing to hear all the wonderful activities of Vishwambhar. All of you, kindly bless him that he may develop the purest and highest devotional mood. May the Supreme Lord Krishna be merciful upon all, benedicting everyone to become thoroughly mad with the chanting of the Lord's holy name. If there is any truth to my words, then in the future, everyone will come to the house of this great Brahmana, Sri Vishwambhar. Advaitacharya Prabhu roared jubilantly, and all of the devotees joined in with him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead descended in the form of his name, and everyone chanted, Hari, Hari. Someone said, Nimai Pandit has now become a great devotee, so he will propagate the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord and increase our joy. The devotees offered their obeisances to Advaitacharya Prabhu and left in great ecstasy, chanting the holy name of Lord Hari. Whenever Vishwambhar met anyone on the street, he would always speak with great affection. When he went for his early morning bath to the Ganges, he would meet all the Vaishnava devotees on the way. When he saw Srivas Thakur, he would offer his obeisances. Being very pleased with his behavior, the devotees would bless him, saying, May you develop unflinching devotion to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Always chant Lord Krishna's name and only hear Krishna's glories. Everything becomes auspicious and successful when one worships the Supreme Lord Krishna. So just to place this reading in its context, in the Adi Leela of the Chaitanya Bhagavat, we find the early childhood pastimes described of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is then known as Nimai, but his official name is Vishwambhar. Vishwambhar means the one who maintains the entire universe. Nimai was a name given to him by Sita Thakurani, the wife of Advaita Acharya. And because he was born under a neem tree, and that name Nimai was invoking protection, because the neem trees are considered to be auspicious and give protection. So they thought, for the protection of the child, everyone was happy that he received that name of Nimai. But Vishwambhar, his formal name, as he became older, he was known by both names, Nimai Pandit and Vishwambhar. At one point, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Vishwambhar, was a youth, he became a very learned scholar. And at that time, he was teaching Sanskrit grammar. Although he was a very learned scholar in Vedic literature, he had never displayed publicly his mood as a devotee. But then, in due course of time, his father expired. And after his father left his body, he went to Gaya. Gaya is traditionally the place where people go and make sacrifices on behalf of the ancestors. So in Gaya he went to make an offering on behalf of his father, so that he would be delivered, which is the duty of a son. The son must perform Shraddha ceremonies for the departed father. So he did that in Gaya. At that time in Gaya, he met Isvara Puri, who became his spiritual master. And when Nimai, or Vishwambhar, met his spiritual master Isvara Puri, he had a change of heart and began to manifest the symptoms of a devotee. So now he had returned, and now Vishwambhar had become a devotee. Someone said, Nimai Pandit has now become a great devotee. And Nimai, or Vishwambhar, was offering obeisances to the Vaishnavas. He would bow down, and the Vaishnavas would bless him and say, may you develop unflinching devotion to the lotus feet of the Lord. In other words, they accepted him as Bhakta Nimai, you could say. And nice, now you are also a new Bhakta. We will give you all the mercy like that. So, and they were preaching to him. The devotees started preaching to this Bhakta Nimai to encourage him in his Krishna consciousness and give him more understanding. In this way, the Supreme Lord was tolerating their behavior because he was playing a part like an actor on stage and acting out his human parts so that the Supreme Lord could become very near and close and intimate with his devotees, because this is the nature of the Supreme Lord, that he appears in his human form on this planet so that he practically becomes equal, so that practically we are on the same level as the Lord. If God is there in the heavens on a golden throne and we are here on the earth with our nose in the dust, okay, then he is great and we are small. Then he is all-powerful and we are living in fear of God. Then our spiritual life will be ruled by the fear of the Lord. Therefore it is said that as long as the bhakti or the devotion of the devotee is mixed with this sense of majesty, Aishwarya Bhav, that one cannot fully develop an intimate loving relationship. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very accessible. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was right there with the devotees, but no one knew at that time that he was the Supreme Lord. May you develop unflinching devotion to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, the devotees said. Always chant Lord Krishna's name and only hear Krishna's glories. Everything becomes auspicious and successful when one worships the Supreme Lord Krishna. Without devotional service to his lotus feet, physical beauty, learning, etc., everything becomes useless. Krishna is the Supreme Father and the life and soul of everyone. Simply try to develop undeviating love for the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Heartwarming words such as these would fill Viswambhu with joy, lifting his face. He would glance at everyone, showering his mercy. He would say, "Your blessings carry the weight of real truth. Who other than you devotees can bless me with the mercy to receive devotional attachment to the Lord's lotus feet? Elevated devotees like yourself are capable of granting devotional service to the Supreme Lord." So there are important truths here that actually devotional attachment to the Lord's lotus feet is a gift of the Vaishnavas. That to really become attached to the lotus feet of the Lord is not so simple. It's not just a matter of practicing the process of devotional service. Of course, when Lord Krishna appeared in the dream of Advaita Acharya, he said that, "Acharya, I am pleased. I am pleased with your service. I am pleased with your austerity." But still, that service must be to a Vaishnava and to the Vaishnavas. We need to look for the blessings of the Vaishnavas, because these Vaishnavas, they are dedicating their lives to pleasing Krishna. And therefore, it is said that dharmasya tattva nidam guhajan mahajana yena gata sapantam, that the truth about how to serve the Supreme Lord remains hidden within the hearts of the Vaishnavas, and that therefore one must follow in the footsteps of the Vaishnavas. So the blessings of the Vaishnavas come in the form of example, and come in the form of instruction. And in both these forms, we must take advantage. We must become inspired by the Vaishnavas but we also become, we also refine our understanding of what devotional service is. Therefore, even practicing devotees are always looking for the blessings of the Vaishnavas. Elevated devotees like yourselves are capable of granting devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Lord Krishna is very pleased and showers his mercy upon those who serve his devotees. I consider that it is due to my great fortune that you are teaching me the process of devotional service to the Supreme Lord. I know that I can become attached to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna if I can serve pure devotees like yourself. So, each of us can meditate in the same way. The process of studying the scriptures is a process of deep penetration. If when we are reading the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, we oftentimes see that from verse to verse there is a slight change. Especially when we get in the descriptions of Lord Krishna, it goes very slow. Very slow. We see a description of Lord Krishna's earrings, we see a description of his lotus eyes, his lotus navel, his lotus hands, his lotus mouth, and his lotus feet. And gradually, as we are going through these descriptions, we are meditating. So it is a meditative type of reading. We find that also in medieval Christian tradition, they speak about Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina being like a divine type of reading, reading the divine, a meditative type of reading, trying to enter into the text, not only intellectually, but actually deeply accepting the consequences. Just deeply accepting the consequences of what we are reading. So in this way, one can take this text and one can look at it and think, we are here in an assembly of pure devotees. We can recognize that these pure devotees can actually bless us with attachment to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. We can see that attachment to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, that will make all the difference. If simply we have that attachment, then everything will change. Then our whole life will change. Because then it becomes easy. So we can see that the crucial point in our spiritual life is this point of attachment to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. When somehow or other that attachment is not yet really flourishing in our heart, it doesn't matter what we do, but it will always be an austerity. As long as we do not have that real attachment to the lotus feet of Krishna, we will do everything perfectly in spiritual life. We may follow everything standard, according to the book, according to how it's meant to be done, but it is an austerity. And how long are we capable of performing austerity? How long can we serve Krishna out of duty? How long can we serve the Lord out of simple understanding of philosophy? Therefore, we have to penetrate on a deeper level and deeply appreciate that we require this attachment to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. It is said that Vishvambar naturally had attachment to the Supreme Lord because he was a great scholar. So those who know a lot about the Lord, they naturally will become inclined towards the Lord, because the Lord is naturally attractive. And the more we hear about him, the more opportunity is there that he captures our mind. But learning is also a problem. At the end of the Adi Lila here in the Chaitanya Bhagavata, and also in Chaitanya Charitamrita towards the end of the Adi Lila, there is the pastime described of the Kashmiri, of Keshava Kashmiri Pandit, the Digvijay Pandit, or the Pandit that was conquering all directions. And this Pandit was very proud of his learning, and practicing debate, and within this debate, his motive was his own victory. That was actually his real motivation, to be victorious. True learning is not for the purpose of being victorious in debate. True learning is for the purpose of understanding. Of course, there is tattva, there is truth. And truth is to be understood. And it is not simple to understand the truth. Sometimes, though, even among scholars, there are so many contradictions and so many questions arise, so many things remain unclear. But ultimately, the true criterion for understanding the Lord is attachment to his lotus feet. Because the Lord will reveal himself. Atah Sri Krishna Namadi. Abhavat Grayan Indre. Thank you. Abhavat Grayan Indre. Se Vun Mukhe Svayam Vash Puratyada. So, that one cannot satisfy the Lord with the blunt material senses. One cannot in any way approach the Lord with merely the intellect. But when the Lord is pleased by devotional service in performed in attachment to the lotus feet of Krishna, then it is nice. Then he will reveal himself. What that attachment is, there's that story of Srila Prabhupada's servant, Shruta Kirti, who pointed out that on one occasion Prabhupada returned to San Francisco. It was after having been away to India, Prabhupada returned. And when Prabhupada came on the airport, everyone was crying tears that Prabhupada was back in America after he had left. The only one who didn't, there were at least 200 people crying, and one was not, and that was Shruta Kirti. So it was a bit, he felt a little bit embarrassed. I have no lung, I have no heart, everyone's crying. He looked around and he saw tears in all directions. His eyes were dry. So it shocked him. And he said, so he was massaging Prabhupada. And then he mentioned it to Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, he said, see the Prabhupada, all these devotees, they have so much love for me. But I, not me, I don't have any love for them. They were all crying so many tears, and me, no tear at all. Prabhupada didn't say anything. But the next day, the massage was taking place at the same time. And again, Prabhupada was lying there being massaged by Shruta Kirti. And then Prabhupada said, this is also love. This is also love. So, So somehow or other, attachment to the lotus feet of Krishna changes our whole perspective in life, because as we get attached to the lotus feet of Krishna, then we gradually lose our self-interest as to my likes, my dislikes, my desires, to somehow or other doing what is important for Krishna, what is really serving his purpose. And in this way, our life becomes a life of sacrifice for Krishna. And that will bring us close to Krishna. Then we will, then Krishna will reveal to us how to understand him. Vadami buddhi yogam tam, Krishna says that I will give the intelligence by which one can come to me. And ultimately, that is the process. So, especially by somehow or other pleasing the Vaishnavas. There are these pastimes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita which I like. It describes how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wants to go to Vrindavan. He's in Jagannath Puri. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Rai, they really don't want to go, naturally. So they come up with different objections. They say, well, you know, it's a very long distance to go to Vrindavan and go by foot. It's if you leave now, then on the way the rainy season will start. And it will be a very difficult journey. A very difficult journey, really. So it's just not... It's a good idea to go to Vrindavan, but it's a bad time to travel. So therefore, better now you stay and you wait till the season changes, and then after the rainy season. So, Lord Chaitanya agreed. Okay, yes. Whatever you desire. And he did not go to Vrindavan. And then, again, when he showed some desire, again, they came up with excuses, and they kept him a little longer, and he stayed a whole year. So then he said, so, you know, I have, Lord Chaitanya one day said, so I've waited 1 year. 1 year ago I expressed my desire to go to Vrindavan. So now you will please allow me to go. And then, yeah, then it was very difficult for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Rai to stop him, because they were already indebted, right? I mean, he had obliged them for a whole year, so now it was difficult for them to stop him any longer, so... All right. If you have to go, then go, right? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then just followed him. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu somehow stopped him and said, no, not any further now. Now, up to this point, I must go alone. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya saw him walk away, and he just fainted. He fainted when he saw him leave in this way. So, it's interesting, that pastime, because it shows how Vaishnavas are bending to the will of other Vaishnavas. It's not like, well, I'm going to Vrindavan. You know, it's like, no, please don't go now. Listen, you know, I'll be right back. Don't worry, I'm going. Nothing like that. No, he allowed the other Vaishnavas to control him. So this is a very so serving the Vaishnavas is a very scary thing. Yeah. It's very scary to serve a Vaishnava. Most scary. Yeah. Especially to serve that Vaishnava very openly and honestly and humbly. To really ask that Vaishnava, what do you think I should do? And then do it. Oh my God, this is terribly scary. Better is maybe to serve the Vaishnava and don't really ask him what he wants you to do. You serve him, but meanwhile you keep your own privacy also, and you just do what you want to do, but you serve him also. So in this way you serve the Vaishnava. But to really serve the Vaishnava, and to actually ask the Vaishnava what he wants to do, scary. Because with one word, he can change your whole life. With one word, he can just say, no. Oh my God, no. Meditating on this for a whole year. For 3 years of my life, I've been dreaming like about this, and all I get is 2 seconds, no. No, that's two, even as a 1 second, no. For 3 years of attachment, that can't be. I need a bigger explanation. I need at least, I need some consideration. I need something. 3 years I've been desiring and meditating this, and now no. It can't be. It can. It can be. It can be in spiritual relationships. Scary. Very scary. Yeah. 3 years out of the window with one no. This is very difficult. But if we do with great faith and become like such an instrument and simply say yes, simply accept and say thank you, just like not only say yes but thank you for being so merciful, thank you for being so kind upon me, thank you so much, then of course we'll become very advanced, very attached to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, and then the material energy, day by day it shrinks, day by day it looks smaller, day by day it looks more and more insignificant, day by day we think, material energy, it's not very important. Just like Mukunda. Mukunda. Mukunda was one of those people who just didn't like to be restricted so much. Mukunda was curious, and Mukunda couldn't handle so much the somewhat narrow lifestyle of the devotees. And sometimes Mukunda just felt like, he had to stretch, the limits of the envelope. He had to stretch the envelope a little bit. Space, yes. So Mukunda felt that he wanted to sometimes hear some outside lectures also. And in this way, Mukunda was attending sometimes lectures of impersonalists. Nobody really knew too much about it. So one day when Mukunda came in the assembly of Lord Chaitanya and the devotees, then Mukunda, he made some offering of flowers to the Lord, and Lord Chaitanya just said, Mukunda, take him out of here. I don't want to see his face anymore. So Mukunda very shocked. Not only Mukunda shocked, all the devotees shocked. A total scene, a drama. We are gathered here tonight, and now I'm speaking. Imagine that I would suddenly get all intense, and said like, you, Uddhava, out, out, out. It's like everyone goes like, Vishakha crying. No. No, out, out. And I'll personally throw him down the stairs and everything. And everyone would be like shocked and talk about it for a long time. It'd be like a drama. That would be something. How could he act like this? So one can understand how dramatic it was. Mukunda, you know, Mukunda, such a singer, Mukunda. What a voice, Mukunda. When Mukunda would sing, people would swoon. When Mukunda would sing, people would be just transported to the spiritual platform. Mukunda, such a devotee, driven out. And Lord Chaitanya says, yes, I don't want to see Mukunda anymore, because he's offering me flowers, but he's at the same time, he's beating me. At the same time, he's beating me. And then he explained that Mukunda was secretly going to hear from impersonalist speakers. So, and Lord Chaitanya had no mercy at all. No, I don't want to see him anymore. No, that's it. Mukunda is just out. Yep, out. That's it. Finished. Devotee's like, you know, but, you know, next day, but, you know, maybe, you know, Mukunda is really repentant, he is like, this Mukunda, you know, and Lord Chaitanya didn't want to hear. But finally, as the devotees were sort of tactfully sort of reminding of Mukunda, finally said, like, this Mukunda, He is just secretly hearing this philosophy which is opposed to me. I will not see him for a million births. Mukunda, when he heard that news, he heard it. The devotees told him. Mukunda was waiting outside. When he heard that, Mukunda, he became ecstatic. Because Mukunda said, all right, a million births. All right, a million births it will be, but then I will see the Lord. Then I will see the Lord. And he started dancing in ecstasy. When Lord Chaitanya heard about that, he said, all right, call him in. So we can see how Lord Chaitanya was dealing with his devotees. And how his devotees are human beings with human nature, like we have, and how we also have something with that envelope. Is this my universe? It's called Krishna consciousness. Is this it? And I have to now live here for the rest of my life within these principles, within this lifestyle, within these rules, this dress, and all these things. Will I really be able to do it for a whole life? For my whole life? Never will I just let myself go. Never will I just follow my natural impulses and just do what I want and see where it takes me. Is that Krishna consciousness? Now, once the attachment to the lotus feet of the Lord is growing and growing, then that attachment will lead us and take us spontaneously along the path. Then one can do exactly that. Just serve Krishna as it is emerging from our heart. But that is only possible if there is real deep attachment. So in order to, and one will never get it. Never get it. Not really get it. Until we become that servant of the pure devotees. One point, that I thought about over the last few years, when somehow or other, by the arrangement of my spiritual master and by some act of providence, I came in this position of being a spiritual master, I thought about it quite a bit. I'm still thinking about it quite a bit, what it means and what I'm supposed to do. So one question that came to my mind was the question that the spiritual master is supposed to be pleased, that we're supposed to please him. That's our business as a disciple. Disciple has to please the spiritual master. Fine, you know, disciples trying to please the spiritual master. And then the question that came to my mind was, well, is the spiritual master supposed to be really pleased in his heart? Or is it just that there is a certain reasonable standard and now the spiritual master should just sort of be formally pleased, you know? Huh? It's like, what is it? Yeah? It's like, you know, you're doing as much as everybody else is doing, so, you know, you deserve that spiritual master should be pleased, so, all right, I am pleased, said the spiritual master. Yeah? But was he really pleased? Yeah? Really pleased in his heart? And what should it be? Yeah? To get the real blessings? What do you think? Yeah? So, we see that Lord Krishna is not into communism in the sense that everyone equal, right? Everyone gets the same piece of the pie. And everything equal, no. One gets a bigger piece, one gets a smaller piece, one gets a quicker piece, and one gets a slower piece. Right? And as he gets, so one gets it right away, another one, oh boy, so such endeavor. Because Lord Krishna gives the cake according to how he is really pleased. Yeah? Really pleased. So ultimately, the spiritual master also must be really pleased. Of course, he is merciful. He's soft-hearted. But still, you know, to be really pleased is not a simple thing. Because naturally, the spiritual master has a very high standard. He may be soft-hearted and merciful, but he must have a high standard. He must have the standard of uncompromised pure devotional service. How can he be satisfied with any less? It's nice. Nice. But not nice enough. Nice, but yeah, just like Prabhupada and Nandarani. And she was helping and... In the very first time she came, she was coming, helping what was the marriage, I think it was. And she was supposed to wash a pot. Prabhupada said, can you wash this pot? This pot was burned. So she washed it, pot was back. And Prabhupada said, oh, you cleaned it very nice. Could you take out this little black from the bottom? Scraping. 1 hour. 1 hour later, she comes back and Prabhupada says, it was still quite black, you know. But she really got a lot out. And Prabhupada said, oh, that's amazing what you've done. So it's so much cleaner than what it was. But still, could you just... That little corner there, you know, everything had to go. Everything. Absolutely relentless, right? Although very kind and appreciative and loving, but... relentless, the whole thing, until it was, that was the service for the day, right? That day she washed a pot, yeah? And that day it became a shining and brilliant pot, yeah? But then it was really something. So in that, you cannot imagine how many lifetimes must have burned up in that one pot. Yeah? How much karma, how much independence, how much reluctance, how much resistance, how much rebellion, everything must have burned up in that, in washing that pot. Yeah? Without a doubt. Yeah. So, no one escapes. Someone is smart, very intelligent, material intelligence, calculates well, makes sure when he sees the pots go towards the kitchen, that he's sort of not obviously walks in the other direction, but stays somewhat behind the others, and then sort of just enters a bathroom or something at a convenient moment, then sort of stays in there for a considerable amount of time, and whatnot. But sooner or later, one day, that pot will come back. Right? It will come again and again. Yeah. When we avoid a particular surrender, it will not go. It will not go. If we avoid surrendering in one area, we may surrender in another. But it doesn't matter. That area where we don't surrender, again, that confrontation will return. It will return. And we still have to go through it one day. Yeah. Until the Lord is pleased with our endeavors, and then he may write off the rest. Okay. Now's it. Yeah. But this is the nature of spiritual life. So this receiving the blessings and pleasing the Vaishnavas, and to really surrender to the will of the Vaishnavas, is a very major thing. Lord Chaitanya completely, now that he was revealing his identity as a devotee, he was immediately beginning to act like a pure devotee from day one. After he had been to Gaya and became back, although he was a new devotee, he began to act like a pure devotee. In great humility, the Lord would fall down and catch the feet of the Vaishnavas. He would render menial service to them by wringing the wet cloth of one, folding the dhoti of another. Sometimes he brought the clay from the Ganga for one, and sometimes he brought a heavy basket of flowers home for another. All the Vaishnavas would mildly protest, saying, "O Vishwambar, why are you doing this?" However, the Lord continued to serve the Vaishnavas. In this way, the Lord would serve his own devotees and servants every day, performing all varieties of errands for them. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna himself. Yet, he gave up his own position to serve his devotees. So, we're going very slow in this reading, in a sense. We are not moving very fast from the topic, from the point. We're seeing our Lord Chaitanya just really took up this serving of the Vaishnavas. And we're going slow because this is a very important point. Now, should we all just fault each other's dhotis, and should we all just, you know, you can do that, but then you never get out the door. Right? There's lots of dhotis. And all day you're just folding dhotis and doing some shopping for someone, and meanwhile you don't get anything done in terms of the preaching mission. So that may also not be practical. That may not be practical. And we may start judging. We may think the dhoti folders, they are the devotees like Lord Chaitanya. And the other ones, they're not so advanced. Oh, not simple. One must be subtle in trying to understand the purports of the text. One must think deeply. One must think that, no, some are serving in a broad way. Right? A little here, a little there, a little everywhere. Some are serving in a deep way, in a concentrated way. Some may lock themselves in a room for years and just concentrate on scripture, and then come out with an amazing book. Right? Very deep and very rich. And suddenly all the Vaishnavas get all the fruits of that, of those years of concentration. Because he may bring something home that we would have never gotten on our own, because who has the time to sit down and to think so deeply about everything? But someone did it. So like that, so many ways to serve the Vaishnavas. And that may be nature and also destiny. Because a service opens up, service opportunity opens up in front of us. Then, do we have a reason not to take? Whenever there's a service opportunity, do we have a reason not to take? We have millions of reasons to take. Do we have any one not to? Maybe. Maybe we have other service. But if we don't, then maybe we should take. Because maybe this is Krishna's desire. Do the Vaishnavas confirm? Do they also want? When service opportunity opens up in front of us, we see that in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami was asked by some Vaishnavas if he would write down the later pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. He was thinking, well, who am I? I haven't even met Lord Chaitanya. Thinking, because he appeared much after Lord Chaitanya. Who am I to write down the later pastimes of Lord Chaitanya? But he had the association of Raghunath Das Goswami. He had heard, and everyone, all the Vaishnavas, confirmed that they wanted it. When finally it was confirmed by the Vaishnavas, even was confirmed by the deity, he went to the temple, he thought, should I really write? He said, my lord, please give me a confirmation. He bows down and does full dandavats and a garland falls off the deity. Confirmation received. He went and wrote. And he said, it's a miracle that I'm writing. I'm in my 90s, my hands are shaking, I'm half blind, which he was, of course, and no glasses in those days. And he was writing. Somehow, memory finished in this way. A devotee is soft, is open to the will of the devotees, and the will of the Lord. And he looks always, what is the will of the Lord? What does the Lord want from me? Maybe, since he opened up this opportunity, maybe he wants me to do this. If the Vaishnavas say, do it, he'll do it. He'll completely give himself to that. Yes, completely. This spirit of being flexible, of being like dough, in the hands of the devotees, in the hands of the Lord. That is a sign of attachment to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Okay. Questions?
Maharaj, you mentioned a few times attachment to the lotus feet of Krishna. Is that more than attachment to Krishna or attachment to the knee of Krishna?
Well, okay, when we say the lotus feet of Krishna, then it means we are bowing down. Then it means we are taking the humble position. When we're going for Krishna's lotus feet, then we are particularly in that mood of humility. So, yeah, where we are seeing, I am the servant. Yeah. And we're bowing down before. And bowing down is more than physically bowing down, but bowing down means bowing down by independence. Manmana bhava mat bhakto, bow down before Krishna means to bow down our will before Krishna. I'll do what Krishna wants. So serving the lotus feet is that element of humility.
You mentioned a pundit who wanted to conquer all directions.
Who wanted to conquer? Oh, a pundit who wanted to conquer all directions, yeah.
The tenth story is behind it.
Hmm?
Who was this?
There were many such pundits. He was a famous pundit from Kashmir, and he was defeating many scholars, and his fame was growing bigger and bigger, and people would leave town when he would appear. Like that. But Nimai defeated him. And then he became also humbled eventually. He became a devotee of God. He got the mercy. That's the whole story. I can't tell the whole story in full color because then we get another movie after the movie. That's maybe an overkill, you know. Yeah, so maybe you don't just ask questions, but maybe since we are in a living room, maybe we should talk a little bit about it. Somebody say something.
This is about the living room independence. It's a kind of
still questions.
Yeah, kind of, but still, I think it's quite important. It's actually the scariest part, as you said.
The scary part.
To giving up independence, but I see it. It's not like, oh, I need to like do it now all the at once and like suffer the rest of my life. But it's actually by following the process, the things are like my character changing, and then I really don't desire the other things so much around, than serving the Krishna or Vaishnavas or Guru.
Yeah. You see, it's like I always think, well, I don't know how long I will live. Mm-hmm. What if I don't live very long? Mm-hmm. Then I better do it now all at once. I should try to do it all at once, because if I don't live long, then I'll miss out with this gradual process idea. You know what I mean?
Yes, but then I see the examples of some devotees who they go very fast, but then they come in a few steps back, you know, like they leave one family, then they start the other family after 10, 15 years and things like this. So it's
you have to build up. You have to... There are steps. You cannot jump. See the Bhakti Raksak Sridhar Maharaj, Prabhupada's godbrother. And he was a great scholar. And he gave an interesting explanation of the process from Shraddha to Prema. He said that if you have Shraddha, the first process, you develop some faith, or the first aspect that, where the focus comes. Then you go to Sadhu Sangha, Association of Devotees. You go to Bhajana Kriya, the practice of regular devotional service. Anartha Nivritti starts to really happen. Then Nista, firm determination. Then you come to Ruchi, taste, Ashakti, attachment to Krishna, Bhava, deep emotional involvement, and finally Prem. So he said if you try to jump over one of the stages, then you can do that, and you carry on as everything was normal. You carry on. What will happen is that stage that you jumped over, that will stay hollow. It will be hollow. Right? It will never fill in. It will be hollow. Eventually, it will break because there's nothing inside, no substance inside to follow that. So that will break later. And I thought that was a very nice way of explaining the jumping over, you know, jumping to a more advanced level than where we are. So we should not artificially try to surrender. That's why you take blessings of the Vaishnavas. He may say, I want to chant 64 rounds from now on every day. But we do that by often taking blessings of the Vaishnavas. Then they say, no, go do that now. Do something else.
then we don't.
Like that.
I want to take these deities, I'm going to worship all these deities. Are you really ready for it? To take such a big responsibility. It says if you worship deities, not only are you responsible to worship them during your life, but according to Hari Bhakti Vilas, you even have to make sure that you that they are nicely worshipped after you die. It says that's how far your responsibility reaches. It's not just a lifetime, you have to even make sure they're nicely worshipped after you die. You take deities. I don't have any. I'm not ready. Phew. Sorry?
Not only with
initiation. No, I mean, what is this initiation? Is this whole idea of installed deities or not installed deities? We make a big difference, you know. You're not installed. They put you in the box. That's okay. No. Once you worship, they're installed. Once you serve, and that's an installation. That's the installation. You don't need all the ritual to install. Doesn't matter. As soon as you serve, there they are. And Krishna manifests through the deities. That's all. There they are. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't want to scare anyone. It's not that.
You just did.
Huh?
You just did.
Yeah, but I just quoted the Hari Bhakti Vilas. I didn't. I think it just means that you have to really take it very serious, you know. So, you know, maybe somebody who's brand new is so attracted to deities and also wants, but maybe it's not the time yet. Yeah. So blessings of the Vaishnavas will always help us in the path. That will protect us from exactly that we jump too far ahead.
Can I explain
a little bit this Nishtha platform? Prabhupada comments, he said that in one commentary on the on the Bhagavatam, second chapter, there's the verse Bhagavati Uttama Sloka Bhagavati Naistiki. This Naistiki is referring to Nista, that we come to the point of realizing Nista, firm determination. Prabhupada said, Nista that means 70%, 60-70% purified. He said. He says that, in other words, the heavier side of the balance on the Krishna side, clearly, you know, clearly. So the balance is really hanging towards the Krishna side. Therefore, although at Nista one may not be 100% purified, still one is definitely sufficiently purified when he just goes with Krishna. But because he's not 100% purified, therefore his taste is coming and going and is still not like so deep, the taste for serving Krishna. But in Ruchi, the taste becomes very deep for serving Krishna. And as Shakti, the attachment to serve Krishna in a particular way begins to develop. And Srila Prabhupada said there are five types of a Shakti, right? According to the five rasas. Then in Bhava, that begins to just burst out of one's heart to the point that one is just serving Krishna and nothing can be stopped. And then, it said, Bhava is like the first light you see in the sky in the morning. And Prem is the sunshine at broad daylight, at 12 noon. So many times multiplied that love that's experienced in Bhava. Nista is where Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Nista is Madhyamadhikari. Before that, Uta is Kanista. Nista Madhya. Intermediate.
Talking about like Srila deities, or maybe also
that we kill the bee. Whoever kills that bee gets lots of blessings. I guess that the blessings of the Vaishnavas means that we take shelter of Vaishnavas. That's where blessings come. We don't just do what we think. We ask and we turn to Vaishnavas. And we allow them to, we give them some voluntary authority in our life, you know, which don't have to do, but we listen to them. That's heavy. That's sort of this. But that becomes also very nice, actually. Because then you also begin to feel, I am actually small, I am actually insignificant, I am actually a servant, you know. But as long as we are sort of externally folding our hands, but meanwhile we have our own agenda inside. Humility and the mood of being a servant cannot really manifest. So, but if we actually surrender to the will of the Vaishnava, immediately blessings are coming, and behind the blessing of the Vaishnava is the mercy of Krishna. When the Vaishnava is, when we take shelter of this system, Krishna immediately starts showering mercy. So it's Krishna that makes that blessing very powerful.
Sometimes it's contradictory.
Some people
want to say like this, and
some people
want to say like that.
I think you have to serve the Vaishnava to get the blessing.
Yeah, it also depends on what you do. Yeah. Sometimes contradictory. It depends how big the issue is. Yeah. If it's a smaller issue, then it's nothing. Then you just please the Vaishnava. When it's contradictory, then you may ultimately go with the senior Vaishnavas, and if it's a bigger issue, with the senior Moses, your spiritual Moses. He has the final word. Yes or no chocolate.
Bite chocolate.
Yeah, well,
aha. Bad chocolate.
And then bite chocolate. It's good.
No,
it's white chocolate. It is. It's not brown chocolate. It's a big difference. White cocoa and brown cocoa. But the percentage of cocoa is pretty much the same. You just go into the supermarket tomorrow and you just take them off the shelf and you read at the back of the package. Read it yourself. Look at the cocoa. But some people say that when Srila Prabhupada was told about cocoa, that he thought it was cocaine. Therefore, some say that chocolate is okay. And there are swamis who are eating chocolate, and others who don't. To make it even more. What to speak?
So then we ask the last week in chocolate.
Why?
Chocolate. Can you eat the chocolate?
Can you eat chocolate?
Then we ask the ones who eat the chocolate. Can you eat the chocolate? We choose from who we get blessings.
Yeah. And then you can eat chocolate.
I'm cheating myself.
But still, I reckon burfi is better than chocolate.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah.
One is not supposed to eat things which are made by
cards.
Then we can, in Vrindavan,
MVP,
ice cream, chocolate ice cream.
Yeah,
everything
in cards.
Chocolate made by the
Vrindavan, everything is
preserved. Only in Vrindavan we can take
eat the chocolate.
Eat the chocolate. Okay.
But if it's important, it's not part of Vrindavan.
If it's important, then it's important. Well, you know, I mean, also strict. So we always, you know, like from day one in ISKCON, you had a phenomenon in America, which was the devotees of New York, and then some devotees, Mukunda, went to San Francisco, and all these hippies, you know, like, of course in New York there were also hippies, but the San Francisco hippies, they were different. You know? They were just like too much, and the New York devotees, they always thought that these San Francisco devotees were out of it and not strict enough. There was always the strict side and the liberal side on day one, East Coast and West Coast, and we still have today East Coast and West Coast devotees. You know? So what can I say? So when you drop a simple thing like chocolate in the assembly, you know, just to sort of get people going. Then some are going for white chocolate, and some are going for like no chocolate at all, and others, they are smearing the chocolate paste on their sandwiches, like Hare Krishna thick, you know, because when Hare Krishna's make sandwiches, my God, you know, the sandwiches I have seen, the peanut butter, jelly, sandwiches.
Maharaj, I have this situation, that's why I asked.
The chocolate got it going.
No. It's another issue. It's like because I have some plans maybe to go in Croatia for some time. And then Croatia, what is that? Yes, you have to come. Here is really nice. You know, it will be really good to come. The Muktadari said, no, Gornitas don't want me to go. And then it's like how to choose, no? Like.
Ask more devotees than only.
Well, you know, fall at the feet of Mukti Datri.
Find some replacement for your altar service.
Please.
No, you see, they don't want you to go.
No, but if you bless me, then I'll be right back. On the other hand, yeah, well, maybe they don't want you to go.
I was reading this book, My Glorious Master, from Gurujan. If you read that and then you think about what he did, just because Prabhupada said, oh, you just go to Hong Kong,
amazing, right? Prabhupada sent to Hong Kong, and there he was. And then at one point he wrote to Prabhupada, I'm all alone, how can I preach here? I can't stay here anymore. Prabhupada said, don't go, I'll send you a wife. And then she arrived. Yeah. You know? She just arrived.
But they're still married, no?
And they're still married. 30-something years, you know? So, I mean, 30-plus years.
She
I don't
was
know
a famous, famous actress.
Famous actress, yeah.
It was nice to read that she just came there, they met first time, and then, okay, yes, hello, that was it, and then they were somewhere in Hong Kong, two of them.
But they have a blessing of Srila Prabhupada.
You too?
We also have.
Where do you want to go?
And somewhere else?
And they were half the age of
Shanghai. Don't say it too loud. Yeah.
Someone Krishna Maharaj joked about Japan. Yeah, might as well go to China. Japan!
China. Yeah, might as well go to China.
Might as well go to China.
But sometimes there are so many opportunities.
Some there are?
Because you were talking about opportunities, and sometimes there are so many opportunities.
Yeah? Yeah, you can't do them all. That's also there. No, so I said that then, you know, they don't come all at the same time. Right? It starts with one, and then you have that, and then, okay, once you've taken something, you've taken up some responsibility, you're not just going to change now again at the next opportunity and change and change. So if you have service, then you don't just change. There's always opportunity. Come to Croatia. Hey, come to. Come to Miami. Come to Brazil. Come to. You know. If I would take all the opportunities, it would never come to Amsterdam. Once in 10 years, I would come here. You know. I can get tickets to. No limit. How many tickets they throw? Croatia. Yeah. I've already turned it down 10 times at least. 10 years in a row, turning down coalition.
Maybe next year.
Huh?
Maybe next year another opportunity.
No way. I'll never go to Croatia. I go to Croatia, I'll never come back.
But that means we have to use our own time. It's also a little bit of choosing what you can or not.
Yeah, you cannot take unlimited opportunities. That's why in the end you need like one ultimate authority. When you get into dilemmas, you just need to accept one person, okay, he's like this person.
And then he says no.
No chocolate.
Maharaj, you were speaking about in one of the lectures you spoke about the Prabhupada Desh. Mm. And isn't that ultimately the spot where we can make most advancement?
True. The place given to us by the spiritual master, that is the place where we can make most advancement, the service given to us by the spiritual master. On the other hand, spiritual master also gives us the whole process of bhakti and the holy dharma. So he also, you know, generally speaking, will be pleased if we spend some time in the holy dharma. And so, you know, why go to Croatia? Why not go to Vrindavan?
I think this is intermediate step.
Yeah. Anyway. I don't mind if you come for a while, but you must come back soon. Just going to stay a summer in Croatia, right?
I heard that is Satyananda Maharaj said that it's the best place in Europe for. Krishna consciousness, it's a Croatia, and the best place in Croatia, the place I want to go to, and it's on the coast.
I know Croatia in the summer. And,
yeah.
I know it very well. Yeah, nice.
Maharaj, I was also, because you brought up this interesting point, to me it was interesting, you said, well then we go to the ones who we know eat chocolate.
Yeah.
So I have this mentality myself also, even when I approach one person, I have this preconceived idea of what I'm most enthusiastic about. So I was wondering also, when we approach an authority, we always have some, like you say, you know, we always want to go in a certain direction. So how much do authorities respond to that or not?
Yeah.
I mean, because I, get the impression some people get really heavy instructions, you know. So it's very lenient, like, okay, you can, you want to do that, you just do that, you know. It's no use bending your mind anyway, because you already have this thing in your head. And
sure.
So how to mend this mentality a little bit, how to improve in that sense?
Yeah, it's dangerous if you approach a senior vaisnava with a whole agenda, you know, with a preconceived agenda, because he may just say, all right, but even if you do that, you're still protected. Right? Because he wouldn't say yes if it was really out of the realm of Krishna consciousness. That he can't do. So, of course, there's a higher thing, you know, it's like when you go like, okay, what would you really like me to do? But you might be sent to China. Right? That might happen. So, dangerous. And maybe you really can't make it yet, you know, in China. Yeah. Maybe you don't do well in that kind of a climate and so on. You know, maybe because of your health condition, really better off just being here and so on. So it's also, sometimes we need to present the material factors that are important to us. You cannot just act tough. But also, well, you know, I'm supposed to just selflessly present myself and then just take whatever instruction comes. But yeah, maybe you're not ready for that completely either. Then maybe we need to present our material situation. It's taken in consideration. It may not be completely unalloyed surrender, but at least whatever we do becomes authorized. And we're protected. But yeah, you find your authority and you find a spirit, you go looking for a spirit. If you have this little bit fruitive tendency, you know, then you look for a spiritual master also, and you look and test him out. Okay, this type of instruction suit my nature a bit. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, this one. Okay. You do it, but then you may find that 2 years down the line, the situation may completely change. Maybe a whole different relationship. You know? The day of your initiation, you may have one relationship, and later on, it may be different. Yeah? And someone who seemed to be like completely so supportive of your ideas may later just be over some period just blocking you, you know. So you have to somehow or other stick with it.
So can you go wrong with it?
Huh?
Can you go wrong
with it?
No.
Well.
Yes.
Well, you know, I think there are deep considerations. Ultimately, you cannot. When it comes to a guru, you cannot rubber stamp a guru and put like the wool mark on there. You know. And sort of say, like 100% pure wool, and you look at the label in his neck, you know. You have to really check it yourself. There's no wool mark. You check it out. You have to. You don't expect that ISKCON will just put rubber stamps on gurus, and then they're all. Now you have to also yourself be sure this person. It adheres to the standards of the scriptures. So you have to use your own discrimination. Take the blessings of the Vaishnavas and so on. There is a big discussion. There are many people in ISKCON who feel that the ISKCON, the DBC, should stop approving gurus, and that they should simply leave it up to the scriptures, because they approve someone, if it didn't work. So you have a responsibility to make sure, according to the Padma Purana, the disciple has to test the guru for 1 year. Guru has to test the disciple for 1 year. And you have to test the guru is bona fide, the relationship works. And some testing is there on the basis of scripture.
If you approach with a cheating motive, like many people approach Govardhan Hill with it, with they want some material benefit, mm-hmm. so Govardhan Hill will cheat them. Isn't it possible that a Vaishnava will also give you cheat you according to your desire?
Yeah, it can happen. Brings to mind this boy in Mayapur who was like staying there. He was sort of connected to the devotees. He was fighting with many devotees, even physically fighting. And he wanted to play guitar. And that's what he did all day. He was just playing guitar all day. And he was just adamant. And the body said, no, you know, you have to do service, you have to stop it, this, that. Became a big confrontation, he wouldn't stop. So Prabhupada, one day, just told him, yeah, play guitar. Okay, go play guitar. Maybe, you know, the story has often been presented that he sort of got cheated, yeah? That he got cheated. On the other hand, I tend to think that if he plays guitar purely, with four regulated principles, the 16 rounds, that he can perfect it also. Because a Vaishnava will not cheat very quickly. Right? There may be circumstances where a Vaishnava would cheat someone, but for a Vaishnava to cheat, you're dealing with a big thing, yeah? I mean, yeah? Don't you also feel like sometimes, you know, like somebody comes to Krishna consciousness and wants to leave and says, hey, Bob, yeah, but you're going to go back into the material world for so many lifetimes, right? Please don't do that. So it's a big thing, you know, to cheat someone because you're sending him back for God knows how many lifetimes in the material world. It's heavy. So Vaishnava in full knowledge of that, it'll be hard to cheat. But maybe some situations can arise. But not so quickly.
Like it's Lord Maharaj's prayer, so in his prayer he says that his only worry and suffering is that suffering of the other living entities. And he's that is their
Yeah. What was the exact translation? Do you remember? It's that famous verse where Prahlad Maharaj is speaking that he doesn't care about his own deliverance or about.
I will not go at all.
Yeah, mumuksu bi paritiyaga or something. Yeah.
And also it says that the Vishnu is proud
of. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, if someone is not approaching with sincere feeling, and is actually causing a major disturbance to the Sankirtan movement, that might be the consideration where he will just divert him.
I was listening to a morning walk of Prabhupada. It was years back, but it really made an impression on me. I was walking a morning walk, and there were so many devotees around him, and they were asking questions. And it really struck the other devotee I was listening with. Everybody was asking the question in their mouth, like an obvious mode. Like, devotees fighting with each other and asking Prabhupada's opinion to support their point of view.
Mm.
And Prabhupada would give answers that would just cut through this whole ulterior motivation thing to all of them. Because everybody came with, like, because Prabhupada so clear, somehow it clearly was obvious that they were asking with another motive.
And Prabhupada treated everyone, always, right, like a candidate, you know what I mean? Even the journalist who was, like, totally hard-hearted and cold and just, you know, Prabhupada would not relate to him like what he was. He related to him like a prospect devotee.
Yeah.
you're a candidate for the mercy. So therefore, yeah, this cheating business, I could imagine, you know, that when a Hiranyakasipu walks in, and, you know, or a Gestapo with boots who is just really, it may not be the opportunity to preach, you know, it may be the time to divert him.
Prabhupada also blessed somebody you become dog, you know, in the audience one time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's
an old
example. That falls
under
the category of cheating.
And then the person, got ears
in
the tail.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think this cheating, I myself also find it. It is said, Mukti Dadati. Bhakti Lakarichit. Bhakti Smakarichit. Now it is said that Krishna, he will give liberation easy, but he will not give bhakti very easy. Now, Govardhan, right? Sometimes the tattva of Govardhan is under discussion. Is Govardhan Krishna, or is Govardhan a devotee of Krishna? Because Govardhan is described as Haridasar Varya, as the best servant, of the Lord, and he is, and he serves the Lord in so many ways. So my understanding on this matter is that Srila Prabhupada clearly pointed out Govardhan is Krishna. So I think Govardhan is Krishna, but he is simultaneously the servant of Krishna, just like Balaram is Krishna, but he's the servant of Krishna. So Govardhan is the best servant of Krishna, but he's also the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead may sometimes give liberation, but not the mercy. The spiritual master is supposed to be more merciful, right? Because he's more partial, he's therefore even giving the mercy to those who are not qualified. Lord Nityananda is also in that special mood of giving mercy to everyone. The spiritual master is the representative of Lord Nityananda. So it would be very rare that a spiritual master would exclude someone. But maybe it can happen that someone is such a disturbance. There is the example of this, what was his name, Donald, who stayed in the first days in Matchless Gifts, and who would not stop smoking dope, although Prabhupada tried to make him stop and so on, and at one point Prabhupada told him, no, you cannot stay. And he was the only one who could not stay. You know? Because Prabhupada knew that then the whole thing will be finished. And he left. You know? And if he would have let him stay, maybe after some time he would have given up the dope. You know? But Prabhupada didn't let him stay. And it's like just a person who sort of disappeared. And, you know? Heavy decision. Right? It's a point where he went back into the material world. So there was a limit where Prabhupada would sort of cut off point. Right? So to protect the interests of the devotee, of the other devotees, sometimes a person has to be denied mercy.
In connection with this, we approach Vaishnava with a motive, and then it's kind of then the question might change you. Sometimes people say approach guru, you know, choose Paul's also mentioned, you choose a guru because you're attracted to a certain quality actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think people often think I'll get away with this and that if I choose for that guru. I don't think it's
okay.
But like, do you really get cheated just because you get attracted to a certain quality in a spiritual master? Like, my spiritual master is very intellectual, and probably that's what attracted me. So, mm-hmm. Is this a reason to like get cheated because you're attracted?
No. Purity is the force, nothing else. Not his character. You know what I mean? One spiritual master may be very intellectual, another one may be very sensitive, another one may be tough. You know? Mm-hmm. Another one may be all over the world, all the time.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know, they But it's what counts is the commitment to Krishna.
But would you get cheated because you chose for a certain quality? No. But you can't go attractive because of a certain quality.
No.
It's just not because of, because we can't see the devotion to Krishna, we see qualities instead of
cheated means that he doesn't give us Krishna. No, that's when we get cheated. We approach him for Krishna, and he doesn't really give us Krishna. But he acts as if he says, yes, you did this, to sort of get us out of the way. That's what I consider cheated. He doesn't give us Krishna.
Yeah.
One gives Krishna in an intellectual way. Someone gives Krishna in another way. But they all give Krishna.
Yeah. Someone has to build this connection and attraction in order to be able to follow spiritual master.
Yeah. We look at a certain person with a certain nature that appeals to our nature, and that makes it easier for us, because he operates in a way that is similar to our own interest, our own nature. So that makes it easier to surrender to this person, than someone who has a complete opposite nature. You have some people, I know some people, I think something is good, they say it's bad. They think something is good, I think it's really bad. Huh? You know what I mean? A material, but it's there, So, such people I respect, but I try, but from a little distance. So I try to get more involved with people who have a similar outlook as I do, in terms of this is good, this is not so good. So spiritual master also, we look at sort of, but not only we see that he's very fixed about Krishna, but also the way that he operates, something we can relate to.
So that's not wrong
when
looking for spiritual
master. Huh?
That's not wrong having this in natural attraction.
Natural.
I was wondering, in connection with what Helena said also, we sing every morning that he's my Lord birth after birth. Yeah, we're talking about kind of choosing a spiritual master, and I was always thinking that this means that we already kind of have a spiritual master, and we kind of just meet him and recognize him.
So. Yeah.
Or is it like eternally liberated, that at some point you get eternally liberated. Then what is this janme janme? Is this previous birth or is it just referring to all the births after this?
Very difficult. the eternal relationship with the spiritual master. Very difficult to understand. Definitely after, but where did it begin? Yeah? Did it begin in this life? Yeah? Or after when? Is this the first time we're looking for a spiritual master? Is it going to be after from now on? Were we already initiated in a previous life? Are we going to recognize a spiritual master? Difficult to say. Some statements we have, like Harikesh Prabhu was talking about Prabhupada, right, saying to this one devotee, I've been trying to deliver you for 600 lifetimes. When will you get serious? Yeah. That's a testimony to that effect. Yeah. And what does it mean? You see then, for example, the case of Lila Sukha and Bilva Mangala Thakur, and how Chintamani was acting as a Siksha Guru, instructing spiritual master. And that actually, what was the name again? Something Giri, the Guru of Bilva Mangala Thakur? Mangala Giri, is it?
Chintamani.
No, Chintamani is the lady, but his real in his Diksha Guru, was it Mangala Giri?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Okay, I felt it. I think it's Mangalagiri, but maybe I've got it mixed up. Anyway, his spiritual master was working through Chintamani. So it counts that he was actually making the arrangement and Chintamani was the representative. So who knows? Maybe life after life with Prabhupada, and maybe we have a guru who's like his representative. Maybe Prabhupada works through some of his representatives, gurus, and the relationship, the eternal relationship, is we're all at his feet. So it's eternal, it's a complex matter.
Not only life after life, but also beyond
that, when we're liberated. In the spiritual world, still, yeah. Still, the guru disciples, they're still there. Still know that there's something there, but you may not be together so much, because you may be in different relationships with Krishna somewhere.
But Chandra, what if they have more gurus in their lifetime?
Also, yeah.
Then what is count,
actually? Yeah. I'll take it. Well, I'll drink it. I'm dying of thirst. Shoot, later. Are you serving croissant?
Yes.
Maybe you should do it, eh?
Okay.
Huh?
Of course.
Who else? Who else
can do
it?
Who
Nee, ja, ik moest lachen omdat ik dacht aan de term daarvoor is dit liedje. Prabhupada heeft met Bhajan geschreven. Heel erg gedaan. En we zijn eigenlijk geestelijke leraar. Dit liedje.
Ja, nou, is oké.
Dus ik moest aan die Bhajan.